This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So last night's debate, night one of a two-night debate, was rather telling. I thought there was a big winner yesterday. I thought there was one, maybe two big winners yesterday. John Delaney and Tim Ryan. Now, Tim Ryan, a little bit different because he did not have his hand on his heart, apparently, during the national anthem. But John Delaney, Tim Ryan, because they are moderate Democrats. And what ended up happening last night during the debates on CNN was you had moderate Democrats versus progressive socialist Democrats. And they made it very clear on that stage, the vast majority of people, that the moderate voices of the Democratic Party, they don't want you. They have no room for you. They have no need for you. John Delaney and Tim Ryan did not have the audience on his side. And yet they're the winners here. And really, the Republican Party is the winner here. John Delaney, Tim Ryan, two moderates, who I don't really agree with on a lot of stuff, but they're moderates. They pointed out exactly how crazy the Elizabeth Warrens and Bernie Sanders of the world are, while posing no threat whatsoever to the Republican Party, because we know that neither John Delaney nor Tim Ryan will actually become the nominee. So I'm not scared of them. I love the fact that they pointed out over and over and over and over again how crazy these folks are, including Elizabeth Warren, who says she would decriminalize illegal border crossings.
We need to continue to have border security, and we can do that. But what we can't do is not live our values. I've been down to the border. I have seen the mothers. I have seen the cages of babies.
There's no cages of babies, but continue, crazy lady.
We must be a country that every day lives our values, and that means
Thank you, Senator Warren. Just to clarify, would you decriminalize illegal border crossings?
The point is not about criminalization. That has given Donald Trump the tool to break families apart.
Thank you, Senator.
Her argument is the equivalent of saying we shouldn't enforce domestic violence because that could break a family apart. Yes, we have a law that is being broken, and when you involve your family, there's going to be some kind of separation. By decriminalizing border crossings, you don't really need a border anymore. What would you need security at the border for if you've decriminalized border crossings, if it's now legal to just come into this country? What would you be enforcing at the border? All this kind of talk does is encourage illegal immigrants to come into this country the wrong way. Now, there's a right way to come into this country. You can apply if it is available in your circumstance to asylum, or you can come in the legal way, get in line, and try and come into this country. Now, I believe both the asylum process and the legal immigration process needs to be streamlined. Unfortunately, the Democrats don't want that. And to a large extent, neither do Republicans, because we've been talking about this issue for how many decades, and nothing has been done. Both sides love to politicize this, but let's be very clear. What Elizabeth Warren is encouraging is dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. So if a bad guy, for example, and yes, I know that the Democrats don't want to pretend they exist, if a bad guy wants to come into this country illegally with nefarious intent, just come on in. Come on in. It's not illegal to cross the border. If you decriminalize border crossings, why would anyone go through the lengthy process of legal immigration? Why would they go through that process? This is the party, very clearly, of open borders. And that's a rather bizarre hot take from Elizabeth Warren to try to win an election on. A box of hair, a literal box of my hair, taken from the ground of my barbershop, Valiant Barbershop in South Lake Union. A box of my hair has a better shot at becoming president than Elizabeth Warren running on that issue. People do not want open borders. Democrats do not want open borders. Republicans don't want open borders. Independents don't want open borders. The only ones who want that, crazy socialists and crazy progressives. The smallest percentage of the progressive movement just wants open borders. That's what she's doing. But if it's not for that, they're kind of pandering as much as they can. Amy Klobuchar, the senator, here she is talking about immigration and the border.
I believe that immigrants don't diminish America. They are America.
No one is claiming that immigrants diminish this country. No one is making that argument, including President Trump. including all of the Republicans that you want to pretend are these evil racist bigots. Let's be clear. The conversation is about illegal immigration. Not legal immigration, not immigrants, illegal immigrants. They change the language on a regular basis because that's the only way they can win the argument. It's really easy to call out the other side as racist bigots when you decide to pretend that they're talking about all immigrants all the time during every period of our history. It's harder to make the claim when you're pointing out that the other side is talking about illegal immigrants. And so they purposefully changed the language around immigration. And they did this a while ago. It's not about illegal immigrants. They just start talking about immigrants.
And if you want to do something about border security, you first of all change the rules so people can seek asylum in those northern triangle countries. Then you pass the bill. And what the bill will do is it'll greatly reduce the deficit and give us some money for border security and for border help processing the cases. And most of all, it will allow for a path to citizenship, because this is not just about the border. Trump wants to use these people as political pawns.
Thank you, Senator.
When we have people all over our country that simply want to work obey the law.
Thank you. You definitely, though, Senator Klobuchar, you don't want to use them as political pawns, even though you use language a little bit differently so you can make your point. Now, Tim Ryan, who came off very moderate last night, he got booed there. He didn't get booed. He didn't get the cheers that he thought he was going to. And certainly the people who spoke out against his moderate take on politics, they got the bigger cheers because the audience was filled with a lot of progressive activists. He went on MSNBC afterwards, and he pointed out some of the crazy things that this party, the leaders of the Democratic Party right now, the top tier candidates are pushing, including free health care for illegal immigrants. Free, not just health care, health insurance.
These workers are scared, Steph. They're working harder. They're playing by the rules. They're barely keeping their nose above water. And then they hear the dialogue like last night saying, well, we'll give free health care to undocumented workers in the United States.
Okay,
while they're busting their rear ends every day to pay for their own health care.
No one supports this. And when you go and look at the actual polling behind this specific issue, it had something like 27% support. That's not good. That's not good. And the fact of the matter is, as Representative Ryan pointed out, Bernie Sanders, the other front runner, goes way too far.
I think we were carrying the flag for those people in the party who think that the issues that Bernie Sanders was talking about yesterday go way too far. I think if we have these conversations around taking people's private health insurance away, that we'll lose 48 states. And I'm having a hard time figuring out what the two states we're going to win will be.
Probably California and New York. You'll get Washington, too. I think, to be fair to him, he undercut. He would get Washington and Oregon. They would get four states. Maybe Massachusetts, five. That's it. They're not winning an election on that particular issue. In fact, the majority of the issues that they spent a lot of time last night talking about and the way that they talked about it, they're not going to win this election. So as Republicans, all of us should just sit back and say, yeah, awesome. And that's kind of where your activism, the lazy kind of activism, comes in. And every once in a while, the lazy kind of activism is actually really important. Retweet all this stuff. Go on your Twitter feed. When you get the clips coming from CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whomever talking specifically on these topics, free health care and health insurance for illegal immigrants, open borders, retweet that. Make sure everybody knows exactly what they're proposing, because that's good for Republicans. Every single time they do this, it's good for Republicans. I haven't seen yet the ratings. I hope they were through the roof. I hope tonight it's going to be through the roof, because you're going to hear some more crazy people like Jay Inslee. Now, granted, he probably won't get that much time to speak, but Julian Castro will. Cory Booker will, Kamala Harris will, and Joe Biden, who is going further and further and further to the left to placate the progressives in the base, he's going to get the most amount of time to speak. This is good for us. The more they talk, the less support they end up getting, because they, for whatever reason, decided to make some of their key issues the things that are the least popular, including in the Democratic Party. I don't know what the strategy is behind that. Doesn't quite make sense to me, because if they all, I get that progressive activists really, really want this, but you've got a wide enough field that you don't necessarily have to play exclusively to the fringes. At some point, they're going to cancel each other out, and the moderate vote actually will matter in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Let me know what you think. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Go there right now. Give me a follow. You can go behind the scenes of the show and have conversations about all of the issues that we talk about here on The Jason Rantz Show, weekdays from 3 to 6. Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So we're going to talk about soccer and the Sounders, but not in the way that you think. So everyone relax and don't send me your angry text messages that we're talking about Sounders, because in this case, I have a sense that you're going to be supportive of this club, because there's some controversy right now between the front office of the Sounders, so management, and an independent group of supporters called the Emerald City Supporters, ECS. So last week at a game between, or a week and a half ago, between Portland Timbers, which is the team we hate, we have a huge rivalry with them, and the Sounders, you had ECS members decide to bring forward a flag, an iron front flag, which they claim is their way of fighting fascism. They believe, these supporters, that they are fighting fascism. However, this is a flag that has been used and co-opted completely by violent Antifa thugs all across this country. The thugs who march in streets in Portland and Seattle, committing acts of violence, committing acts of terror, vandalism, beating people up, all because they don't like the political positions of their targets. And so the Sounders, in concert with the MLS Code of Fan Conduct, sent a letter, a very strongly worded letter, to the ECS members saying, no, 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 no. You're not allowed to bring this flag here anymore. They flat out say this includes, but not limited to, Antifa, Iron Front, Proud Boys, and Patriot Pair. The new fan code of conduct was clearly shared with all supporter groups prior to the start of the 29 campaign. Messages, banners, flags, or any other symbols that represent an association to a political group will not be allowed in CenturyLink Field. Now, they very clearly said, do this again, you face some serious circumstances, consequences, including losing your season tickets. Now, the fans who support Antifa, oh, they're pissed off. They're really upset. They are livid, because in their world, they are fighting literal Nazis. It's sad in a way. The delusion that these Antifa supporters believe in. They truly think they live in a country in which they're facing violent suppression of political opposition by Trump. They literally think they've got Nazis in power. And so they've set up this entire argument of theirs in defense of their horrible position to use violence to stop political opposition. They set it up so that they're heroes. They're all heroes. They're the ones who are fighting fascism. And then anyone who gets in their way, oh, it's so weird that you would get in the way of fighting fascism and racism. They do that all the time. In fact, all day today on Twitter, I've been getting called out by these Antifa losers, including, by the way, calling me Nazi scum. I am a gay Jew. I am not a Nazi. Now, I know in your crazy delusional world, you think I'm a Nazi, and your sad, lonely life in which you're coming up with a solution to a problem that doesn't exist in a reality that doesn't exist to give your life some meaning. I'm not the Nazi. It turns out you're closer to fascists than any of the people you think are actual fascists. These folks don't know the definition of fascism, and now there's concern coming from the front office, according to my sources, that these members are going to boycott this upcoming Sunday home game at CenturyLink against Sporting KC. Now, I don't know if they're at the point yet where they're going to do a boycott. If they do a boycott, it's not going to look good, because they specifically have the space behind one of the goalkeepers. They have three sections, and so they have a lot of bodies in those seats, and you will miss them. When they're not there, you miss them. There was a point, it was either last season, maybe the season before, that they boycotted an international friendly because they thought it wasn't worth the risk of injury to the players. And you could clearly see a whole bunch of empty seats. And so now the Sounders are trying to figure this out, but good for them. I think we should be speaking out against Antifa, against their supporters, against the violence, including against people like Andy Ngo, a journalist they don't like, who, by the way, I thought we're supposed to stick up for marginalized communities. Andy Ngo, Asian and gay, he gets severely beaten up. We have a domestic terrorist who goes into Tacoma, tries to put bombs or set bombs off at an ICE facility center, claiming to be an Antifa member, that's terrorism. We need to fight back against them. And kudos to the Sounders for doing this. Now, to be fair to the Sounders, I don't think they wanted to get involved in this. They kind of had their hands forced. The Sounders is, as an organization, very progressive. But they don't want to go so progressive that they're going to condone violent political behavior. And anyone who says, oh, no, 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 this is all justified, you're insane. Facts are not on your side. You live in a delusional land, and that's where you're going to end up. You're not going to be able to bring over your stupid propaganda flags. I hope they test the Sounders. I hope they test the Sounders. Not that I want to put the Sounders in that position, but I would love it to see these people get kicked out of CenturyLink, losing their season tickets, as a clear, very clear message, your propaganda that supports violence is not okay. We're not going to put up with it. Now, I've got the story up. If you want to read the story that is really ticking off Antifa, in fact, if you want to help me tick off Antifa, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword RANTZ. I'll send you a link to this story. If you want to really ruin the day of a Seattle Antifa member or one of their supporters, text in RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770, then post the story on your Facebook wall and your Twitter feed, because they are acting like the children that they are. It's very bizarre, but rather telling. I could have scripted the way that they respond. I could have scripted exactly the way that, because they are so over the top and so dramatic. In fact, I just want to read a couple of the tweets that I've seen prior to this. I include them in the story. One goes, I try not to be an alarmist about things, but at no point in my lifetime has anti-fascism ever been controversial, except now, in the moment when authoritarian government and right-wing political violence are ascendant. Except that's not true. The authoritarian government that you think exists doesn't exist. You know how I know that? Ask me how I know that.
How do you know that, Jason?
Because he tweeted it out! The oppressive authoritarian government that he says exists would not have allowed that Twitter feed to go out into the public. That's how ridiculous these people are. Another one. The narrative, and again, this is how they set it up. They're all heroes. The narrative that being anti-fascist is somehow radical or equivalent to real terrorism from white supremacists like the KKK is utterly ridiculous and irresponsible. Hey, MLS, the same president that 5 hours ago tweeted your same talking point refuses to put the KKK on a terror list. Only just, would it be cool if I give a little bit of a fact check on that? Is that
please,
cool?
Please do.
I was going to do it even if you told me no. Why? Just tell
Don't
me
do
no
it.
This time.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it anyway because it's my show.
Well,
the KKK is considered a hate group by the federal government. But the federal government does not make public an official list of active domestic terrorist groups for obvious reasons of not wanting them to. But they're on the list. They're already considered a hate group. But these people want you to pretend that it doesn't. That's not even true. And then finally, this is this is the most dramatic tweet I saw. This is really from a scorned fanatic. We believed in you when no one else knew your name. We have had your back when no one else did. We stood for you in moments of complete darkness, and we were there to celebrate your glory. Don't turn on us now, Sounders. Come on. That's insane. Like, that shows you the delusion that some of these people are living with. That's so over-the-top dramatic. It's like, okay, chill, okay? Just relax a little bit. Oh, you scorned me. 1-800-465-877. Whoa. When I say it really pisses off Antifa to put this information out, we got like 60 text messages within like 30 seconds. So if you want to really tick off a Antifa Seattle supporter, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You'll get a link from my story. I need you to read it, and then I want you to post it on your Facebook wall and your Twitter feed. Hashtag it Antifa. Do whatever you need. Let's really piss them off. You're listening to The Jason RANTZ Show. Welcome back back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side, and 97.3 FM HD Channel 3. Another day, another Seattle business impacted by homelessness. This time, Harbor Island Machine in the West Seattle neighborhood dealing with a number of RV and homeless addicts, causing a whole bunch of problems outside of their business to the point where he had to put ecology blocks in front of their business to stop derelict RVs from hanging out. It was a story we first saw yesterday from Matt Markovich at Como, and now we're going to take a bigger look at the problem with one of Harbor Island Machine owners, Mark DeFaccio. Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So you contacted me this morning to say there's a lot more to this particular story. So let's start by telling us exactly how homelessness has impacted the area that you tell me the company's been in for almost 70 years.
Correct. It was founded in 1950 by my grandfather. My father and uncle then took it over, and it's currently operated by myself, a brother, and some cousins. Probably 10 years ago, the Port of Seattle took over some property on the island and sort of rerouted the streets here, and we negotiated a parking lot out in front of our business since they essentially got rid of the street there. It's a fairly wide area that myself and our neighbor's business utilize for parking and access for our customers. I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago, RVs obviously saw that nice location and started arriving. We would file our complaints with the city, and for a while, usually the RVs would only stick around for, you know, maybe a couple weeks at a time. About 3 years ago, we ended up with almost 30 vehicles out, taking up a good half of the parking lot. And obviously, along with it came the crime, as well as other activities that are not of joyful.
Yeah.
For those of us around here.
Well, and it matches the narrative that a lot of people have put out there, which is over the course of the last 3 to 5 years or so, there's been just a noticeable decline in the quality of life that people are experiencing both at home and, in this case, on the job. Now, because you're technically on that island portion, is it SoTo or is it West Seattle?
This would be covered. This is actually West Seattle. It's
okay.
Just below the West Seattle high-rise bridge.
Okay, so West Seattle residents have been dealing with this for a while as well. A lot of folks are a little upset with Councilmember Lisa Herbold. We'll get into that in a second. I want to play for you a quick clip of a homeless individual. His name is Gizmo. He was featured in this Como piece.
I believe it falls in the category of hate crime.
So you're still hoping for a safe lot someday.
Right, and then meanwhile, I'm trying to avoid, you know, another hate crime that I believe the city commits against homeless people, which is the sweeps.
So he doesn't want to be swept from the area. You obviously, I'm assuming, want something to be done. What's your reaction that this is a hate crime?
Well, it's obviously not. It wasn't. When we moved the ecology block to that particular area, it was right near our shop, and it was to block any RV from parking there. I described to you the incident that Gizmo was involved with that kind of was the final straw, shall we say.
What did he do?
He goes back and forth, and this is, he was happened to be at the location where I put the ecology blocks, which is fairly close to our main shop opening door, and he had a visitor come by, a gal on, who was quite high, jumping and running around his place, and then eventually managed to get into the shop and wandered all the way to the back of the shop.
Jeez.
Barefoot, before we were able to escort her back over to Camp Gizmo. Our shop, we're a machine shop. We have all kinds of turnings, and which are sharp metal chips in various places on the floor, and obviously not only was she in danger, but my personnel. After we returned her, apparently Gizmo got tired of her, pepper sprayed her.
Jeez.
She ended up in our front parking lot, obviously in distress. And that's when we called 911 earlier. We called 911 again and stated that, you know, now she definitely needs some help, some medical help. And that's when they did arrive. And I believe they took her up to Harborview at that point in time.
Have the police in the city been receptive to the concerns you've raised?
So when the first encampment came here, I got hold of a Todd Wiebke at the Delridge precinct, and he was very helpful and believed that the businesses needed to be protected from this issue. And he took care of the homeless, that RV encampment, within probably a week, and that was a fairly large one. He was fairly hard-nosed with them, and he was an advocate for the businesses. So that has been, that was a very good, positive, you know, influence, I felt, with the local businesses. Unfortunately, he was probably asked to retire early, and so with him gone, I'm not sure that there was anyone else that, you know, really had the gumption to take on the issue, because obviously the higher ups do not necessarily want aggressive handling of the illegal parking.
Just joining me, we're talking with Mark DeFaccio. He is one of the principal owners of Harbor Island Machines. This is a business in the West Seattle neighborhood trying to deal with a whole bunch of RVs and homeless people who have taken over their streets. He put an ecology block or two in front of the building to make sure some RVs weren't there blocking them and hanging out. You know, we've obviously on the show been covering this topic for a very long time, and we've been talking a lot lately about your council member, or at least a council member who represents this part of where your business is, Lisa Herbold, incumbent, who's running for re-election. She has been working behind the scenes to stop some of the navigation cleanups from taking place. And I'm curious if you've had any conversations with her or her office to sort of better understand the situation from your perspective.
We have not. I know that my next door neighbor, the other business right here, has been very active in trying to figure out and get the city to take some more positive action. This is a business that just moved in. They purchased the land about a year ago. They put quite a bit of money into refurbishing it and are not happy that the reception from Seattle has been to not trash the area, but allow, you know, this type of behavior to go on. So she may have. I have not. I know that if change is going to occur concerning this, we're going to need new council people. So,
well, and I suppose that's my next question. How has this impacted the way you look at this current race? It certainly feels, from my perspective, like there's momentum on the side of a clean slate, whatever that might even look like.
Yeah, well, we don't have I'll be honest, I'm a capitalist, so there's not a lot of options that I see available. So we have had some flyers from a couple of the candidates in West Seattle, which is where I'm from. So I will be voting on that, and I am certainly not going to be voting for Lisa Herbold. It will be one of the other candidates, and once I get a chance to review, you know, their policy positions, their support for the police or lack thereof.
Well, one of them is a former officer, and Brendan Colding, who's running, is a former lieutenant, and then Phil Tavel, the other person running, also generally well-liked and is certainly seen as being supportive of the cops. I hear you on literally anyone at this point might be better than Lisa Herbold, but, you know, were you a fan of Lisa Herbold's before all of this happened, and you sort of became a little bit upset? Or take us through sort of where you've been.
Oh, no, I've never been. Like I said, I'm a capitalist. I don't appreciate the socialist movement. I have quite a few socialist friends, and we have good debates, but I will stick to my guns when it comes to the free market and personal responsibility as far as the boundaries that we need to establish as a society. We are doing many of these addicts no good by not helping them get help, by allowing them to roam free. When the gal that trespassed recently, the police came in, interviewed the people that saw her trespass, asked if we wanted to press charges. I just asked the question, will it do her any good? Will she be forced to get treatment or provided aggressively that option? And the police said, no, she'll go before a judge, and the judge will release her on her own cognizance. And obviously, she wasn't able to make good decisions then, and I doubt she will make good decisions in the future. So the government can establish those boundaries, and they're the only one with the police force. So If they won't do it, we need people in office who will encourage that, I guess.
Well, the good news is you've got two good candidates who are running up against Lisa Herbold, either of which would be way better than what she's able to do on this council. Last question for you. Do you get the sense that there's momentum on the side of changing things in West Seattle?
Yeah, and I have advocated for that with my friends. I think there's quite a bit of change. I'm active locally with quite a few people and some other businesses. So, and now that we actually had one of the gentlemen who was running for office stop by the house and talk to my wife. So she was able to explain our situation down here, and he seemed to be
good.
One of those who would advocate for the changes that are needed.
Well, we wish you the absolute best of luck. I know that both living in Seattle and owning a business in Seattle has been much tougher over the course of the last few years. I'm hoping the momentum is on the side of getting rid of Lisa Herbold on this council and putting someone in, either Brendan Colding or Phil Tavel, who, again, I think are going to be much better for this area. I've been talking with Mark DeFaccio. He is with Harbor Island Machines. Thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in and telling all of your friends. Soon, thanks to Virtue Signaling by Jay Inslee, your gender will become a political statement on your driver's license here in Washington State. Jay Inslee came out with a post on Medium backing a licensing rule change by the Department of Licensing, the DOL, that lets you put X as your gender on your ID for people who are pretending gender is a social construct and they want to create a new gender or a gender that doesn't actually exist. He says in this Medium.com piece, the X gender designation option means a gender that is not exclusively male or female. That does not exist. You're either male or female. You can be a transgender male or a transgender female, right? That you're presenting as another male, whether or not you go through any kind of official surgical transition. X-gender does not exist. You're not a rock. You're not a couch. You're not just simply this being that doesn't have a gender. You have a gender. Unless you live in Washington State or some of these other states that want to pretend that that doesn't exist. Now, according to the director of the Washington State Department of Licensing, her name is Teresa Bernstein, Washington will not require medical certification to change gender on a driver's license. Bernstein said that in Inslee's Medium article, quote, we intend to allow self-identification of gender. Now, Elaine Wiley is the co-executive director of the Gender Justice League. She says it's imperative of our government to include as many people as possible so that people actually feel like they're part of society and that they're seen and heard. Got to see and hear them. DOL will host public hearings on the change throughout the month of August. You should not show up because they don't really care. Normally, I would say show up, make sure your message is on the record. They don't care. They're going to move forward regardless. And part of the reason why they're doing this, it's about changing language and concepts so that they can take control of arguments. And we talked about this in the first segment of, you know, changing what Antifa actually means, changing what actual words and definitions actually mean. And they're doing this because that's the only way they can win arguments. They can't win with facts, so they have to change them. And now they're just creating another group of people that they can pretend are becoming victims of some sort of social construct in society that's being driven by bigots in the Republican Party. That's literally all that this is. It's going to be confusing, my assumption is, for law enforcement officials who are given a suspect information of a thief. Okay, what kind of suspect am I looking for? Suspect is between 5'9 and 5'11, dark hair. Okay, what's the gender? So I know what to look at. X. But no, is it a man or is it a woman? It's just X. So now you're telling me I'm not going to be able to look for this person based upon their gender because of political correctness. And the second that someone says, okay, he's male. The suspect is male. But don't send anyone. I told, then a PDR is going to go through a public disclosure request. We're going to get the audio. We're going to hear that. And then it's a hate crime. Gender exists. I don't care what gender you identify as. Don't care. Don't care. Have no. I really honestly don't care. I don't care what bathroom you use. I don't care what locker room you use. So long as you're being honest about it and it's not for nefarious intent. And every so often, I suppose, we get a story like that. We don't have any sort of rash of that happening. But let's stop pretending that gender does not exist. Because I don't know who that serves.
My question is, what about
producer
the rare
Rob,
cases?
By the way, sitting in for producer Tom, for people who don't know your voice.
Hi, everybody. I have a question regarding what about in the rare cases where there's both parts that are present? And
you're talking about hermaphrodites.
I don't think they like that term anymore. But
well, I mean, that's the medical term. I don't right. Intersex.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, there you go. Then you're intersex. You're still presenting as a gender.
Okay.
Now, I suppose if you want to say intersex, go ahead and put intersex on there.
Fair.
That's an actual thing. But we've decided to just create words. For example, Z. Don't say he or she, say Z. Z is a made-up word. You've literally made up a word, and I'm not going to abide by that. Sorry. And look, I'm a member of the LGBTQ community. This is going one step too far for political purposes. If you want to make a political point with your gender, fine. Go ahead. Identify as whatever it is you want to identify. If you're choosing to do so for political stand, go for it. Because you want to fight back against, you know, societal structures, blah, blah. Okay, cool. You don't use the government to do it. This use your own voice. Use your own avenue of expression. Don't count on the government to make a political point for you. Don't use my tax dollars to make a political point that you want to make. Have at whatever political point you want to make. Express yourself in whatever way you want to express it. I do not care. It does not bother me. I have transgender friends. I've never had the conversation of, man, there's something wrong with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with these people. I have no problem whatsoever. Except when you tell me that things don't exist that do exist. Until you start telling me to ignore things that actually exist because it might not adhere to your personal political view or a point that you want to make. Because at some point, we do have to say, there aren't 10,000 different genders. I know you want to identify that as... No, we're not going to be able to accommodate everyone on a political whim. And if you want to have the more personal one-on-one conversations of folks who maybe do fall medically or biologically into that gray area, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about at all. You can very easily say intersex for the 0.1% of people who that actually applies to. I'd love to hear from you guys. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-877. Go ahead and send me your text messages on this or anything that we've been talking about. We still got a lot to get to. Two more hours left. The Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH.